Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make Him known.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah chapter 61. Verses 1 to 4. This can be found on page 737 of your Pew Bible. These prophetic words are fulfilled in the incarnation, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word.
Well, to our mission partners here with us today, grace and peace to you and those you serve in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have traveled from near and far to be here with us today, from India and Gaza, from Poland and Amsterdam, from Westchester, Fairfield counties, and even Greenwich. And we are so grateful that you're here with us today and that you're leading us in worship. And I would ask just at this time for our mission partners to stand once again for us in the worship time. So please stand with your families, anyone that's with you from your ministry, and you'll see they're all around us here in the church. And and thank you all for your service. Please stand a little longer. Thank you all for your service. What I want to do now is we at the congregation here would like to bless you. So if you would stand for just a moment, I ask all of the congregation to lean your hand out wherever you see somebody standing, could be up around wherever it is. And I'm going to pray this prayer. You can join me in your hearts as I do. On behalf of the congregation here at Stanwich, we speak the Lord's blessing over each of you, your families, and those you serve. We ask for peace and welfare for the communities and countries that you minister. May God's all-surpassing grace and Holy Spirit power fill you. May He supply for all your needs and multiply His kingdom impact through your faithfulness. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And you may now be seated. We are so grateful to have you here with us. Well, we heard in that passage from Isaiah in our scripture reading that Isaiah is talking about the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, who will come to set God's people free. And he's describing what that Messiah's mission is going to be. But it's sort of surprising. He's not saying it's going to be a conquering king with armies crushing his enemies, but it's a God who sees suffering, who cares about justice and about restoring our broken and fallen world. One of the key passages in today's text is the line, "The year of the Lord's favor." And I want to unpack that for you if you're not familiar with that phrase. What it's describing is not a calendar year, but talking about a period when salvation would be proclaimed, when the Messiah would come and rule. Isaiah's referring back to Leviticus 25, which talks about the year of Jubilee. And at that time, what the people of God celebrated was that once every 50 years, Slaves were set free, debts were canceled, and property was restored to the original family. Isaiah is predicting a day when Israel will be freed from future Babylonian captivity. Now, many centuries later, Jesus himself, in his earthly ministry, read this scroll in his hometown synagogue at Nazareth. And we find that account in Luke 4. And I'm going to begin reading for you. He's given the scroll, he unrolls it to a certain place, and this is what he reads. The first two verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's a radical claim. Notice he chose those verses in the scroll to read aloud, but he added and interpreted them for them by saying, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is saying, "I am the one Isaiah's prophecy was pointing towards. I am the long-awaited Messiah. The future you have been waiting for is now. I'm here to bring justice, truth, and healing. I am the anointed one of Israel to set God's people free, not only from their present suffering, but from death and from the consequences of sin." These are radical words, and they require a response. Notice what happened in the synagogue that day in Nazareth. People were in awe, and some were curious. They wanted to follow him, but others were horrified and sought to destroy him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff because in their minds, what he had just said was blasphemy. And like those hearers in the Nazarene church, we have a choice to make when it comes to who Jesus is. Will we follow him or try to destroy the claims he made about his life and his claim on ours? For those who choose the path of life, we get to partner in God's kingdom work to restore what is broken and to love others with God's love in such a way that it sets all things right. We join with him to bring his justice and mercy to a hurting world. And that is what three stories you're about to hear from our mission partners are all about. They're going to come up one at a time and share with us for a few moments about how the Holy Spirit is showing up in their ministry, how this is the year of the Lord's favor. And may God bless, encourage, and inspire us as we hear them. So I invite now Pastor Dauda to come up and get us started.
Good morning, church. You have the greetings of Living Water Christian Center of New York and the River of Life of Newark, New Jersey. My name is Dauda. As you can hear, Dauda is a Muslim name. I'm a living testimony of the favor of God. Amen. And we give God the glory and all the praise. For me to be standing here, you have to be the favor of God. He brought me from Islam and revealed himself to me. And not just only revealed himself to me and brought me from Burkina Faso to New York City. This is the favor of God. And rescued me from death. And I give him all the honor and all the praise. You know, what I'm doing in New York City is reflecting the favor of God. When we have favor with God, what will we do with the favor? Have to reflect it on people. And it started with you, Stan Wichev, with Pastor Chuck in 2008. From the subway, God rescued me. and allow me to just share my testimony on the street. And from the street, three people came to know Christ, especially West African Muslim. And this is where he brought me from. And I found favor, reflecting the favor of God by preaching the word to the Muslim who came to New York City. In 2008, three Muslims, four Muslims came to know Christ. It became a Bible study group, and it became a church. But let me share you a little bit, a story of a young lady. I call her Bayang, from Senegal. Well-educated lady, worked on the United Nations, was brought in our prayer ministry because she was going through a cancer, stage four cancer. And as she came, the mercy of God spoke on her behalf, and she was healed completely. And she went back to her job in the United Nations, shared her story. Two or three people came, Muslim, gave their life to Christ. She didn't stop there. She went back to Senegal, shared her story to her family, the father, the older brother, the older sister, gave their life to Christ. We had a chance to baptize them in New York City. And we give God the glory and God the praise. In 2015, I went to pray for a family in Newark, New Jersey. In their living room, start a little ministry. And from there, church is born. This is the favor of God. We could not do it but on our own. The word said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon us. Amen. It's Him that allowing us, giving the capacity to do what we're doing. We cannot convince anybody with our own argument, but because the Spirit of God in us, upon us, use us powerfully to convict Muslims that Jesus is the truth. Amen. And the Messiah and the Savior. And it gave us the capacity, as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God confirmed His word with healing, signs and wonders. And just to let them know, I'm still the same yesterday and today and forever. And we give God all the praise and add God all the glory. And I just want to thank God for all of you. You know, the first time I stood here, Chuck Davis translated English from French to English. I'm standing here, you know, 10 years later, preaching in English. We give God glory. Hallelujah. 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 This is God's favor. This is God's favor. And we thank you, partners. We cannot do it on our own. We're doing our part, and you also doing your part. And we thank you for being faithful, you know, accompanying us for what we're doing as we continue to reflect the glory of God in New York City, in Newark, and all over the place in New York and in the United States. Thank you very much.
It's really good to be here. Thank you so much for having us. Very interestingly, on Thursday, as I was heading home from a meeting to prepare to come here, I got into an accident, and my car didn't make it, but thank God that we all made it and were able to be in this place. But after that event, I remembered a phrase I told a friend, and I said, man, it's very hard when a poor person gets a problem. And as I was reflecting on the scripture, that phrase came back to me. I said, when you're poor and you get a problem, that is rough. Because, you know, poverty is a very different thing. Growing up in it, I have I have had a bit of an experience. You know, when you are poor, it's like you don't have food to eat. You're struggling to find something to eat. You're struggling to find a place to sleep. You don't know how the night is going to go. You don't know where your clothing is going to come from. And you have some clothing, but probably a bit of holes in them. And you're trying to look around, and you have been identified and classified and isolated. You don't want to fall sick because you will not be able to afford going to a hospital. And so you're thinking about all of the situations. It's like everything is against you. Growing up in a kind of space put me in a place where I began to think I need to find death before death finds me, because maybe that is my access to victory. Until Jesus met me and changed that story. But poverty can make you and put you in a different place, and that you do not want to be in that place. The common phrase that I've heard from Uganda is "Omwavu wakufa." It is translated, the poor are destined for death, because there is no way out. You don't have friends that will help you out. You don't have anybody that will come to your rescue. And so as we think about the scripture, Isaiah, and when you think about these words, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Amen. You know, when you are getting a problem, it's bad news for a poor. It's like you don't want any bad news. But here he says, he has anointed me. I believe that God has sent me. He has been sending you as a church to bring good news to the poor, because we need some good news in that kind of situation. And so when you think about all of that, it's a very important part of the work. We are in different parts of this world, but you are here praying with us. You are here saying, hey, keep going. We are praying with you. There is some good news. Jesus is able. You are sending all kind of encouragement. And as Pastor's Discipleship Network, our prayer is that it will not just be me. It will not just be one person, but it will be God raising an army and sending them to whichever community and say, go send this good news to all the people in those communities, wherever they are. That phrase, Omwavu wakufa, will be changed, because we want to hear that the poor are not destined for death, but life, as this good news comes to them. And so I pray that every African pastor will be equipped to bring the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to their community. Whichever gift, whichever tools they need, we want to come alongside them and disciple them and pray with them. And we want to come and support them in every way, in whichever way possible. And we've heard stories of pastor, one of the pastors, Zigwana, one time reached out and he said, this is what I'm going through. These two kids came to me and they don't have, they're about 8 years old, and their parents abandoned them, and they need help. They are by themselves. In my mind, I couldn't understand. As he walked into this community, this is about less than a year into reaching and planting a church in this community. And you never prepare for something like this. You don't know what you're going to run into. And he's thinking, how do I deal with this kind of situation? I remember another pastor reaching out, and he was talking about this other lady who the wind just came and blew off the roof, and now her and her two grandchildren are there, and they're trying to figure out, what do we do? We've got nothing. And he's saying, how do I bring good news to this family? Would you help pray with me about this? I remember another pastor reaching out, and he says that here we are in the community where he was serving, there was just a huge influence that had come in from the Muslim community, the mosques coming up, and he said, I don't know how to keep going, because now I feel the pressure. I don't know. Everybody seems to be running, and they're okay with going to the Muslims and to the mosque. How do I keep telling them that we need the gospel? How do I continue to bring the gospel in this situation? So whatever situation it is, we don't know what we're going to run into, but we're preparing and we're saying, God, if God is calling you as a leader, we want to walk with you. And we want to pray with you, and we want you to go. And I love this. Our prayer is that every African pastor will be equipped to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community that God has planted them. And I love what Isaiah says. He later says that to give them, verse 3, he says, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And he says, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. That is what you are doing. That is how you are going with us. That's how you are standing with us, with people that you probably have never met. And I hope you come and meet them someday. I'll be waiting. But that is such a beautiful thing. And I remember a couple of years ago when I stood here, I think I told her something. And I think when you think about people who are in that place, who are thinking, my destiny is death, but then good news comes in. And now it's like, now I have this oil of gladness instead of mourning. There ought to be a celebration at that. And there ought to be some time of praising God and saying, yes, he has done it. And so I want us to remember this, and I want us to celebrate the Ugandan style. For those of you who missed it a while ago, I want to say, I'm going to teach you, and then we're going to try it one more time together. Are we ready? Yeah. This is how it goes. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go.
That was amazing. I got something on my sleeve, too, just not right now. Thank you. Hi, my name is Eric Schaefer. I'm with Young Life in Westchester County, and I'd be remiss to not introduce my peers as well, Carrie Lipson, Greenwich, and Amanda Dixon, who's here with Young Lives. We are just so grateful that we get the opportunity to share with you what we have going on. First, I want you to picture something. I want you to look back in your life of when you were sitting in a high school classroom, perhaps Spanish class like me, cutting weight for wrestling season, and you see a guy that just comes into your teacher's classroom once, twice a week, then the next week, then the next week, and you're asking yourself, who is this guy? What's he doing? One day I got the courage, as I was fatigued and tired from not eating food to make weight, and I said, hey, who are you, and why do you keep coming in our teacher's classroom? His first answer was simple. It was, well, I'm your teacher's husband, and I'm just here supporting her. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. But little did I learn, I asked more questions. Why are you here? And this man completely impacted my life, and he was my Young Life leader. Not only my life, but my whole school's life, as we caught vision of how to share the gospel with our peers in high school. So if you're a high school student or a middle school or college student, and you want to talk about Jesus, link up with Young Life. Pray for that to come to your school. When you think about verse 4, they will rebuild ancient ruins, restore places long devastated, and renew the ruined cities. I think that's what we get to do in the ministry of Young Life with middle school, high school, and college students. I have a slew of different stories I want to tell, but one last thing I want to say is that in 2020, my wife and I, who's over there, beautiful Devin, decided to move here to the Northeast. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and things were going pretty well outside of COVID. And we decided to take a chance. None of us have been to New York City or even the area. And we heard the call from God to come and move up here. And now we've been here 5 years, and it's been amazing. And we feel this mission to share the gospel with kids in the Northeast. And we're seeing some great impact from that. And so a couple things that follow through with rebuild, restore, and renew here. I just got some quotes from kids that they posted on social media or we've gotten texted. I'm just gonna read you a few of those, then I'll wrap it up. Young Life Camp has been so impactful in my life and my relationship with God. I'm so grateful for all the role models and friends, some kid posted on Instagram. Some of the best people I've ever met, best week of my life for sure, another post. A student from Nicaragua, Pelham is love. We do ministry in Pelham, New York. And he has a picture of him and his Young Life leader there. The most impactful experience I've had to date, a kid who went and served for a month at camp washing dishes and toilets, which is impressive that that was the most impactful experience. Last spring, we met with a student who said, I was at rock bottom and you remembered my name, so I came back. That was at Iona University. Another college student also used the term rock bottom. First semester, I was at rock bottom. I played 5 sports in high school, and now I can't do any because I threw out my back. I reached the lowest moments last semester, and Young Life brought me back. A middle school kid from camp said, "This is the only place I've ever felt seen and safe. I can be myself." I got a text yesterday, so I added it to the list. Thanks, E, for helping me get through hard times. I know when you're there, and I appreciate it. Two more. I would have transferred out of Iona if I hadn't found Young Life. This is truly why I'm still staying here. And lastly, as we experience many kids that go through thoughts of ending it, one kid texted us last year, "Young Life saved my life," and gave a little bit of what was going on. And the power of just showing up can answer this calling that Isaiah is saying in this chapter. And that's what we do. We have events, we have programs, but the best thing a Young Life leader does is enter the halls of the high school or the sports field or around the community in the local coffee shops. And we just say, "Hey, what's going on? What's your name?" And then we pray for kids. And that's what Carrie's doing. That's what Amanda's doing. That's what Focus is doing as well, my wife and as well. And it can completely change and restore cities. And I think when we thought about moving here, we never thought about it in that way. And when we were praying about this passage, I think that is exactly what we get to do. And so I would encourage you, if you are in middle school, high school, or college, talk to your parents about getting involved in some form or fashion, because I promise you, just like me in high school as a sophomore, if I didn't have a Young Life leader in my life, I don't know where I would be. I definitely wouldn't be married to my wife, and I definitely wouldn't be here, and I definitely wouldn't be working, honestly, for Young Life. So the last thing I'll say as I want to end it, some more celebration that we can give another Ugandan cheer for. 12 kids committed their lives to Christ this past summer at our camps. And just last weekend, my wife and a crew of people took some college students at Iona University, and two more stood up and said that they accepted Jesus, which is great. The Lord is rebuilding our universities, restoring our schools, and renewing our cities. So have hope, Stanwich Church. Have hope that it's happening here in your communities, in your backyard. And we're thankful for your support and can't do it without you. It's a true honor to watch these kids really go from death to life, where they have no hope at all, to this hope in Jesus Christ, which is amazing. And so one final note, I was walking across Iona University last week, and I get stopped by a girl, and she says, "Eric, what are you doing here? Why are you here?" And little does she know, probably in another year or two, she'll be restoring and renewing life as well if all goes according to plan. So we just show up, and that's what we do. If you want to learn more, come talk to us afterwards. So thank you.
Wow. Wasn't that amazing? We're leaving full today. I want to thank all of you for what you do. You are on the front lines doing what our church vision is every day, and that is to know Christ and to make him known. So thank you for your faithfulness. You are proclaiming, "This is the year of the Lord's favor." Your stories remind us that each one of us here today have a missional context. We may or may not end up in South Asia, Africa, Europe, but we have a context right here where we live, in our schools, in our workplace, among our friends, with our families. God may be challenging each of us to take a risk and follow him, to get uncomfortable so that we can watch him work in a new way. Pastor Richard will be leading us in communion in just a moment. He is a member here and regularly a part of worship, but today he's here as a mission partner. He's the executive director for Pivot Ministries, a men's drug and alcohol recovery program. And as you come forward for communion, I invite you to ask God to reveal to you your mission context, where he can use you, and invite his spirit to fill you to participate even more in God's kingdom work. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.